Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The NBA trade deadline is just 9 days away. Who'll stay? Who'll go? Join Malika and Woj and Shanae and Kendrick Perkins and Richard Jefferson for complete coverage on deadline day. That's next Thursday, 1 Eastern on ESPN. And with that, we welcome you back to our studios. We are live, as always, above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. It's an extremely busy day, and our next hour will include a live interview with Brian Flores, the former coach of the Miami Dolphins, who has filed a lawsuit against the National Football League. That is the primary source of conversation throughout the sports world this morning and well beyond. In fact, let's dive right into that. For those of you just joining us who've not seen the news, it's an explosive lawsuit filed by Flores, who is accusing the National Football League and three of its teams of discrimination in their hiring practices. Those teams include the Dolphins, the Broncos, and the Giants. It is a 58-page lawsuit filed in Manhattan federal court yesterday. It seeks class action status. A major focus of the lawsuit is an alleged text exchange between Flores and his former boss, Bill Belichick. According to the lawsuit, Belichick accidentally texted Flores to congratulate him on landing the Giants coaching job before Flores had even formally interviewed with the team. We're going to show you the exchange because I think this is important that you see how it went. Belichick texted, "Sounds like you have landed. Congrats." To which Flores responded, "Did you hear something I didn't?" Belichick says, "Giants." Flores responds, "I interview on Thursday. I think I have a shot at it." Belichick says, "Got it. I hear from Buffalo and New York Giants that you are their guy. Hope it works out if you want it to." Flores responds, "That's definitely what I want. I hope you're right, coach. Thank you." Then in a separate text, he writes, "Are you talking to Brian Flores or Brian Daboll? Just making sure." To which Belichick writes, "Sorry, I messed up, if you will. I double-checked and misread the text. I think they are naming Daboll. Sorry about that. BB." And it is worth pointing out that came several days before Brian Flores had his official interview with the New York Giants. Flores was on CBS this morning talking about how he felt going through that interview, knowing what he knew.
It was a range of emotions, humiliation, disbelief, anger. Now, I've worked so hard to get to where I am from in football, to become a head coach. Put 18 years in this league, and it was to go on at what was going to be a what felt like or what was a sham interview. I was hurt. We filed the lawsuit so that we could create some change, and that's important to me. I think we're at a fork in the road right now. You know, we're either going to keep it the way it is, mm-hmm. or we're going to go in another direction and actually make some real change where we're actually changing the hearts and minds of those who make decisions to hire head coaches, executives, et cetera.
Again, Brian will be here in about a half hour, but our insider, Dan Graziano, is with us now. Fill in whatever blanks exist here regarding his interview with the Giants.
Yeah, there was contact between Giants ownership and Brian Flores before the Giants hired their general manager, Joe Shane. There were multiple conversations in which the Giants told Flores that he would be a candidate for the job and to expect a call. Flores actually, this is actually detailed in the lawsuit as well. But what he's claiming is that they had already decided to hire Brian Daboll before they brought him in for his in-person interview. The Giants, in a statement, dispute that. They say he was a candidate until the 11th hour and that they feel good about their hiring process. So that's the back and forth that he said of it all. Obviously, the text with Belichick indicate that maybe the Giants had let him know their plans before they had let Brian Flores know their plans, and we'll see how this proceeds.
And as we discussed earlier in the program, there is in place the Rooney Rule, which would suggest, and I saw Brian use this expression when he was on CBS this morning, that that was a box that needed to be checked before they could officially make the hire. Moving on anyway, in case you're wondering why they would bother going through a quote-unquote sham interview. It's worth having that in the discussion. In the meantime, what about the Broncos? There are also allegations from Flores involving an interview he did with the Denver Broncos before they moved in a different direction in 2019. This was before Flores became the coach in Miami.
Right. So he was still with the Patriots at the time. So the interview took place in Providence, Rhode Island. The Broncos had to fly to New England to interview him. He claims that they showed up an hour late to the interview, that it appeared that they had been out late drinking, that they were in bad shape as a result of that, and that the interview, based on the content of it, was not a serious interview. They ended up hiring Vic Fangio instead. The Broncos, in a statement, dispute a lot of that. They say the interview started on time at 7:30 a.m., involved five team executives, and they say they have detailed notes that would indicate that it was, in fact, a serious interview and he was seriously considered. So, again, that's the both sides of it here in terms of who's saying what.
All right, Dan, stay close. We'll get back to you in a minute. In the meantime, I want to bring Jeff and Dominique into the conversation here, and I will once again remind anyone watching of the experience these two have. They were the apex leadership of the Players Association during the labor negotiations of about a decade ago. So you have extensive experience negotiating directly not only with the league but with individual owners as well, at least back in those times. That said, Dominique, what is your reaction to all of this?
I think it's important that we use this opportunity to actually try to advance the cause. So what's most important right now is collective action. And I think Brian Flores out there alone, like the maintain the status quo playbook would suggest, when the status quo is inequality, they'll attack Brian Flores for his credibility. They'll attack his specific claims, and they may be able to discredit it enough because, frankly, most people are willing to give the benefit of the doubt to people who don't necessarily deserve it. But in order to protect against that, other coaches need to share their stories. Other coaches need to come out, because when there's a preponderance of evidence that suggests that something that we know is happening, it'll be much more difficult for them to discredit that. And it also gives Brian Flores and those other coaches some protection. You can blackball one coach, but you can't blackball all black coaches from sports. So I think that's important. And I think there's a responsibility on us in the media to bypass Roger Goodell. This isn't a Roger Goodell problem. It's that's something right. that he has to deal with, because the owners push him out there and make him deal with it. We in the media, when given the opportunity, we need to ask these questions of the people in ownership, the people who are actually making the decisions, the people who are empowering the people below them to make these decisions. Roger Goodell has no power, no influence, no control over individual team decisions. He works for the team owners. So when they push him out there to ask these questions, to answer these questions, he's not the one you need to be talking to. If you are a member of the media who gets a chance to speak to owners, those are the questions that you need to ask if you care at all about this issue. And I don't want to take up all the time. I got some more time later. We'll get into that. I'll be quiet and let Jeff say something smart.
No, no. I think everything you say is worth everyone hearing, and we will make sure we have as much time for it as possible this morning. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with Fox more. I mean, what he said is so eloquent and it's so real. I think the other part of this lawsuit is the transparency that Brian Flores is asking for. Listen, when you walk into that interview, what did I not execute? Or that didn't matter if you're a black coach or a white coach. How are they hiring? Why are they hiring? You know, what is happening that I'm not doing? What, you know, what's not happening? Because I think then at least you can see why people are saying what they're saying. It's obvious we have a hiring issue. We got one black head coach in the NFL, which is a freaking joke. So we know there are issues. We understand this has got to be going on. There have to be sham interviews. The Rooney Rule has not been held to a standard that it was begun as. We can see that, right? By just look, open your eyes and see that. But we do have to find a way to get to where these aren't sham interviews. These are real opportunities for guys to get hired as head coaches, general managers, and presidents of organizations. All of those roles come from the owner. And to his point, it's not Roger Goodell. It's not Jeff Pasch. It's not Troy Vincent. This is the owners of the 32 teams. And we have to get their ear and have that change at that level.
It's worth also reminding everyone or pointing out that Brian Flores remains a candidate for two vacant head coaching jobs while he is taking this action. He is a candidate for the open jobs in Houston and in New Orleans. Now, there's a separate part of this lawsuit, if you will. The matters are related but not exactly the same, in which Flores says that Dolphins owner Stephen Ross, when Flores was the coach, attempted to incentivize him to purposely lose games in 2019, with Ross offering Flores, according to the coach, $100,000 for every loss. Flores says that as the team won games late in that year, the general manager, Chris Greer, told him Ross was mad that Flores' on-field success was compromising draft position. Now, that's a different issue, but one that might be differently and equally explosive for its own reasons. Dan Graziano, what more can you tell us about that?
Well, yeah, think about this from Brian Flores' perspective. This is a job he did get, right? Like, I mean, this is the one he did get, and they hire him, and then immediately as he claims that the owner of the team is telling him to lose games on purpose. That's obviously anathema to what anybody who's grown up, you know, coaching football, playing football, et cetera, would believe in. And according to Brian Flores, when this was presented to him, he refused. And then as a result, according to his lawsuit, he was sort of ostracized in the Dolphins organization as someone who wouldn't go along with the program. And sure enough, when he's fired after the first consecutive winning seasons by the Dolphins in 18 years, what comes out is, well, he was difficult to work with. He had frayed relationships with the GM, the front office, the ownership, etc. All of which, again, may or may not be true. But what we're hearing from Brian Flores in this lawsuit is he feels that because he didn't agree to lose games on purpose in 2019 to get a better draft pick, he was then treated as an outsider in the organization and ultimately let go with this as the reasoning behind it.
All right, so that one, of course, goes directly to the core of the integrity of the league and other issues like that. Dan, thank you. Well done. So let me bring the guys back in. And Jeff, I'll give it to you on that one. When you hear that, what thoughts go through your mind?
It's just disgusting, man. Like, listen, you think about all the time, energy, and effort every player on that field is giving, every coach, how much family time they're sacrificing. For you to walk in and go, it really doesn't matter. By the way, we're interviewing for a job for the 31 other teams every time we take that field. We're jeopardizing our health, our long-term health, all those kinds of things, all for the opportunity to play, for the sacrifice to get there. I mean, someone would go, oh, for a draft pick later on. It's ridiculous, man. I mean, it should piss everybody off. Because that does affect the integrity of the game and what we all believe in, that we're going in there with the opportunity to make the most of the opportunity that we have as players. Again, man, it's absolutely ridiculous and it's disgusting.
You know, Neek, when this was going on, you and I discussed it at great length on this program, and it did appear that Brian Flores, we gave Brian Flores all sorts of credit for the fact that we felt this was a team that wasn't trying its best to win structurally, if you will, and they were winning games. Dominic, take it.
Yeah, I mean, I said it was unethical at the beginning of the year, and then I said Brian Flores should be coach of the year at the end of the year because of what he was trying to endure. But I do think that it's important to understand that there are some unspoken agreements when you go to work for somebody. It's understood that I'm going to do the best job that I can for you as long as you pay me. And it's also supposed to be understood that you're going to do the best job to give me a chance to succeed as long as I'm there. The idea that they would not do that should be infuriating for anybody, including the other owners. The idea that he is subverting the integrity of the game in order to try to get some advantage should be upsetting to everyone. And for me, it's particularly personal because I did it. Like, I know what it means to sacrifice and to make all the decisions and to put your body at risk in order to get an opportunity to get into the NFL. And then to imagine that once I finally got to the NFL and I'm there trying to live out my dream, the person who I've signed a contract with, the person who's paying my paycheck, has decided that he wants me to fail. And then my career may be over because he wants a draft pick. Like, this is as infuriating as anything. And there is no side in any of this that could understand and agree with this. Like, even the owners, I can guarantee you that back channels, the owners are furious about the idea that there is some other owner out there tanking.
Now, you see, Rob Ninkovich is with us as well today. And Ninko, you spoke earlier very emotionally and very personally about your relationship. Brian Flores was your coach for some years in New England. I know that matters to you a lot. I just want to set that up here. And so when you hear that the owner, according to the coach, offered him $100,000 for every game he lost, what thought goes through your mind?
That I know exactly what Brian said back to him. That's not happening. Because I know
B. Flo, I know Brian Flores' character. I know how he is as a man, and he's a competitor. He is not going to fold the cards to try and get a draft pick. I can guarantee that. So, you know, this whole thing, it upsets me because I know Brian Flores as the man, and I know his heart. And, you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it wasn't for Brian Flores. I really wouldn't. Coming in 2009, I was just a young kid. I had no really long-term aspirations to be in how long I'd be in the league. I was almost out. And I had to go in and meet with Brian Flores early every single day. We go over special teams, and he was vital in my success. So it hurts me to know that Brian loves this game. He loves the game. He played at BC. He was a linebacker. He went right into coaching. He's coached for a long time. He's a terrific coach. And it really hurts me that he's having to deal with this, because now he's putting his future as a coach in jeopardy. But it's for a great cause, and I got his back.
That's really well said. Yeah. Again, Jeff, a quick final thought.
Yeah, I just want to say this about Nick. So I've heard Ninkovich, I've heard Solder, I've heard the McCourty twins. So many guys have stood up for Brian Flores, for his character and the traits that he carries himself by. Think about how helpless you have to be as a person, that what you've put 20-plus years in, you've put your life, your family's, you know, your sacrifice for your family, all the things, that you're so helpless that you have to go through the court system. This isn't what this guy wanted to do. He felt so helpless. This is what he had to do. Like catch a glimpse of that if you want to really feel how big this is. It's just absolutely ridiculous he has to go through this to get some kind of change to see what we've all seen.
All right, we have Brian Flores coming in here, and we will ask him all of the questions. Again, this is a lawsuit that he filed yesterday, and so we will have him here in about 16 minutes. So much more on this massive lawsuit filed by Brian Flores. He'll be here in our studio. We'll be asking him about all of this, why he's doing it, what he hopes will come from it, and whether or not he still believes he will have the opportunity to coach an NFL team as soon as this coming year. Speaking of which, Jim Harbaugh is spending this day, which is National Signing Day in college, interviewing for an NFL job instead of being in Ann Arbor, Michigan. What does that mean? We will get to the bottom of it as we go on. We're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up, and we will get back to our top story in a moment. But in other news, Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh is interviewing for the Vikings head coaching vacancy today, which is also National Signing Day in college football, which seems extraordinarily significant that he would not be in Ann Arbor, but rather be in Minnesota interviewing for this job on this day. So let me bring in Dan Graziano here. Dan, what can you tell us about the potential of Harbaugh coming back to the NFL?
Our Vikings reporter Courtney Cronin reports that interview was scheduled to start about 20 minutes ago. So Jim Harbaugh in Minnesota today to interview for this job. My understanding is it's the last of the second interviews in this round of interviews. They interviewed Patrick Graham, the Giants defensive coordinator, as well as the Rams offensive and defensive coordinators, each for a second time this week. Jim Harbaugh and the Vikings' new general manager, Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah, have a relationship They spent some time together in San Francisco when Harbaugh was the head coach there. Adolfo Mensa, when he got the job as Vikings GM, became very interested in hiring Jim Harbaugh, and it's entirely possible that could come together quickly depending on the results of today's interview. So, yes, absolutely a possibility Jim Harbaugh ends up coaching the Minnesota Vikings in 2022.
All right, Dan, excellent. Thank you very much. I want to bring in Heather and Paul here. Whenever there's big college news, that's where we turn. Paul Feinbaum and Heather Dinich, I'll start with you. Heather, the fact that he's doing this, that Harbaugh is there on National Signing Day, feels especially significant to me. What should we take from that, and how is the university reacting to it?
Well, Jim Harbaugh has been planning and preparing for this interview as if he's going to get this job, and Michigan is doing the same. I can tell you, as for the timing, Greeny, this is out of Harbaugh's control. He is operating on the NFL's timeline. The Vikings are in a very business-like manner. He was in the office on Monday, Tuesday. He's expected to be in the office later today. But Michigan is also going to give their offensive coordinator, Josh Gattis, a very good look as an internal candidate to replace him if he does not return. I spoke to a source this morning who said he thinks there's a very slim chance that Harbaugh returns. So the coaches are off today, National Signing Day. Their class is done. This is normal for them to be off. They're off through the rest of the week, but they could have an answer. They're waiting like everyone else. This staff could have an answer by the end of the day if this leaks out. And I've also been told that Harbaugh has been very transparent with the recruits that he has talked to and said, look, I love Michigan. I'm committed to Michigan. But if somebody offers to double my salary, I'm certainly going to listen to them.
All right. That's interesting. Paul Feinbaum, what is your reaction to all this?
I think this goes back to a year ago, Greeny, when the University of Michigan called in Jim Harbaugh, cut his salary in half, and pretty much put him on the clock after a disastrous year. We all know he turned it around this year. He went to the college football playoff, losing to Georgia in the semifinal. If he doesn't get this job, it's inconceivable how he walks back into that building. And you mentioned National Signing Day. This is a celebration of high school football. It took to go to college. Everyone has parties. Everyone has events. And the idea that Jim Harbaugh would creep back into that building today without that Minnesota job is almost unbelievable.
Well, so explain for anyone who may not fully understand the way the mere fact that he is interviewing for these jobs is going to be utilized against him by those he competes against.
Yeah, Greeny, that's really what is going to happen if he doesn't get the job. Can you imagine Ryan Day at Ohio State trying to turn a player from Michigan to Ohio State saying, your coach left that university on signing day to go trying to get another job? That's why I think he has to have this. I mean, if it was anyone but Jim Harbaugh, you would think it's a fait accompli. Can you imagine Nick Saban or Kirby Smart or Jimbo Fisher interviewing on this day without having the job? I think he has it. It seems inconceivable that he doesn't. But we're talking about Jim Harbaugh here, Greeny, and when we're talking about him, all bets are off.
And so, Heather, back to you quickly. You mentioned an internal candidate. If indeed Harbaugh does get this job, what should we expect to happen next?
Well, I think that, like I said, they take a long look at Josh Gattis, but they would probably also look at Matt Campbell, maybe Bill O'Brien. There are a lot of other coaches out there, especially with some NFL experience, that could come into the mix. But I will say this. I want to say what Paul said. If he does come back, there are people who think that it could be just fine. Remember, this is not atypical for Michigan. They went through this last year for very different reasons. 2-4, nobody knew what was going to happen with him. He came back, and look what they did.
Well, let's see what winds up happening with it. With that said, Paul, who should they go after? If indeed he gets this Minnesota job, which the sense I get is most people think is going to happen, if he does wind up with the Vikings, who should the University of Michigan hire as their coach?
I think the shortlist ought to include Bill O'Brien, who's done very well in college at Penn State, of course, before the NFL. Another name to keep your eye on is Matt Rhule. He has really done a terrible job at the Carolina Panthers, but he was brilliant in college football at Temple and Baylor. And a wild card possibly would be David Shaw. Remember, Harbaugh went Stanford to Michigan, and I think, you know, before he went Stanford to San Francisco to Michigan, I think he is an undervalued coach who a couple of years ago was one of the top five coaches in the country.
All right, this is all worth keeping a very close eye on. I know you will. Heather and Paul, thank you both so much for getting up here. We'll check back with you, I'm sure, tomorrow with more on this. Meanwhile, Brian Flores is on his way into our studio after his explosive lawsuit against the entire NFL yesterday. We'll ask him why he's doing it and what he hopes comes next as he joins us next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Get Up on ESPN. Brian Flores is on his way the day after filing a lawsuit against the National Football League. We've told you all morning he'll join us here at 9:30 Eastern. He is being briefly delayed by traffic, but he will be here in just a matter of moments. We will have him on the air along with his lawyers as soon as he gets here. Again, this is a day after he sues the National Football League and three teams, accusing them of discrimination. Among the allegations, Flores accuses the New York Giants of giving him a sham interview after they had already made a decision to hire Brian Daboll as their head coach. As part of the lawsuit, Flores says Broncos executives, including John Elway, arrived an hour late for an interview in 2019 and were allegedly hungover after, quote, drinking heavily the night before. And he accuses his former boss, Dolphins owner Stephen Ross, of attempting to incentivize him to tank shortly after he was hired in 2019, with Ross allegedly offering Flores $100,000 for every loss. With regard to that, the Dolphins released a statement which reads, in part, "We vehemently deny any allegations of racial discrimination and are proud of the diversity and inclusion throughout our organization. The implication that we acted in a manner inconsistent with the integrity of the game is incorrect." Ryan Smith, who you see often on this program here on Get Up, is also an attorney, and he is ESPN's legal analyst, and he's good enough to spend a few minutes here. Ryan, thank you. You read the filing. What stands out most to you?
Well, in addition to what you mentioned, it's the idea that a coach currently in the cycle where we're hiring coaches firmly in contention for jobs would put on paper how he's been adversely affected in these ways. I mean, that's stunning, because think about it. That's putting your career on the line, not for money, but for institutional change. And that's a big deal, because in a way, he might be foreclosing some of those opportunities at other teams, but he's saying it's important enough in order to change the way the NFL does things with respect to black coaches and GMs.
And so, again, we'll have Brian here in an hour, and we'll get more, as much more as we can. But generally speaking, what would you expect to happen from here?
Well, I think the first thing he's trying to do is get the courts to certify this as a class action. So that's the first step. And then you want to bring in other people to join that class action. And according to the filing, Brian Flores thinks that might include somewhere up to 40 or so head coaches, GM candidates, things like that, people who have been in that process. But then after that, if this goes forward, you'd be talking about discovery, things like that. It could be an uphill battle, because in some ways courts don't want to get involved in these kinds of business relationships, and then in other ways he's going to have to show evidence that there was disparate treatment that affected his employment. But as you know, Greeny, a lot of the hirings and firings and what happens with coaches can be subjective. Just because a team's doing well doesn't mean an ownership group doesn't want to move on from that coach. So that might be tough in terms of presenting evidence, but at the end of the day, this might be something where Brian Flores is hoping to get the NFL at the table and try to work out some sort of settlement to change the way things are done, to change the Rooney Rule and other things to make sure black coaches and GMs get a real shot.
I'll get to the Rooney Rule in a second, but you just made me think of something. I'm sure a lot of fans are wondering this. Brian Flores is still a candidate, from what we understand, for two head coaching jobs. Should he be hired for one of those? And they are the Saints and the Texans. How, if at all, would that impact the lawsuit?
What's interesting is he could keep the lawsuit going. Now, you might say, how would that even work? The idea is it's a separate issue in a way. You're hired by the team, and the team knows that this is going on, even though you're essentially suing that team. They're saying, okay, you've decided to make this stand. We believe maybe with you that these that changes should happen. So we're bringing you on because we think you're a great coach. It doesn't necessarily stop him from continuing the suit. Now, I'm not talking about a situation where they decide to settle all the sides involved. But it just because he's hired by a team doesn't mean he doesn't continue that lawsuit, because the point, at least according to this lawsuit, is institutional change, changing the way the business is done. And that is not mutually exclusive from being a head coach in the NFL.
And there's one more thing I think we must bring into the conversation, and that is the Rooney Rule. And sometimes I think we mention that, and many fans may not even know specifically what it is. So let me tell you, as of this year, they have approved changes to that rule. So the way it stands now, every team must interview at least two external minority candidates for open head coaching positions and at least one external minority candidate for a coordinator job. Additionally, at least one minority and or female candidate must be interviewed for senior level positions like club president or any other senior executive position. So, Ryan, how does the Rooney Rule, the mere fact of its existence, how does that impact a lawsuit like this?
Because the implication in the Rooney Rule is that the interviews are supposed to be in good faith. The bottom line here is it's not just about bringing in coaches or potential coaches to interview. You talk to them, but you had no intention of hiring them. The idea behind the Rooney Rule when it was set up was this idea of, hey, we want to bring people in to teach them about the process, candidates of color, to give them a sense of what it's like so that maybe in the future they can get head coaching jobs. And not only that, the other idea was you bring people in that you wouldn't normally bring in because they might not look like you, but then in talking to them and learning more about them, you say, you know what, we were going to hire this guy, but now why don't we hire this coaching candidate of color? If you're just bringing in people to interview them and don't have the good faith basis of really trying to see if they actually are a real candidate for your job, then you're not really meeting the spirit of the Rooney Rule. The idea is to try to promote and build in more black head coaches and more black GMs in the league. And if you're just bringing people in and creating sham interviews, as he claims it, you're not meeting that key core of it. And without that, the rule becomes empty.
I think that's really well explained. Ryan, thank you so much for doing this. I know you have a busy morning as well. We appreciate you jumping in here. All right, so that was Ryan Smith when he joined us about an hour ago. I should point out the NFL released this statement last night saying the NFL and our clubs are deeply committed to ensuring equitable employment practices and continue to make progress in providing equitable opportunities throughout our organizations. Diversity is core to everything we do. There are few issues on which our clubs and our internal leadership team spend more time. We will defend against these claims, which are without merit. Well, as we've told you all morning long, Brian Flores was in our studio. He has arrived, and we will have him live here along with his attorneys talking about why he filed this lawsuit, what he hopes come from it, and where it goes from here. He will join us live next in just one moment. You are watching Get Up, which is brought to you by Moonfall in theaters and IMAX on Friday.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to Get Up on ESPN, and we are delighted now to be joined by Brian Flores, who is the head coach of the Miami Dolphins for the last several years, who was released last month and has filed, as of yesterday, a lawsuit against the National Football League about its hiring practices. Also here are his attorneys, Doug Wigdor and John Eleftherakis. Yes. Thank you all for
Thank
coming.
You. Yeah.
And Brian, let's just jump in. We have 20 minutes here, so we will be able to cover a lot of ground, and we are delighted. You filed this lawsuit, which you are aware is obviously going to have enormous repercussions. What was the tipping point for you through your experiences that made you feel this was something you needed to do?
Well, I mean, just, you know, I've been on, you know, several interviews over the years. And look, I mean, this is, we didn't have to file a lawsuit for the world to know that there's an issue from a hiring and firing practices
so
in the National Football League.
That's correct. A lot of people have pointed this out. So why did you feel you needed to do this?
Because we need change. That was That was the number one reason. And I know there's a sacrifice, there's risk to that, but at the end of the day, we need change. We need change. I know many very capable black coaches, some of my staff who I know, if given an opportunity or when given an opportunity, are going to go and do a great job on their interview. And I would just hate for that to be a waste. And I think, you know, we need to change the hearts and minds of the people making those decisions. That's why you know, we filed the lawsuit.
Who are those people? Who specifically do you think needs the change?
The owners of the NFL.
All of whom are obviously white. I mean, I'm a lawyer, obviously, but I mean, sometimes you need litigation to create change. I mean, the Rooney Rule didn't work. We now have less black head coaches than when the Rooney Rule started. And, you know, Brian thought long and hard about it. And litigation's not for everyone, but he stepped forward. He's been referred to as the Rosa Parks of the NFL. And it's a testament to his character. And the litigation will create change, either because we're going to litigate the case to the end or the NFL is going to now do the right thing faced with litigation.
Okay, let's go through some of the specifics here. We detailed earlier a text exchange you had with Bill Belichick, for whom you worked in New England at some point, in which it appears he was congratulating the wrong Brian Daboll, rather than Brian Flores, for getting the job in Buffalo. We've all read that, or excuse me, leaving Buffalo and getting the job with the Giants. We've all read it. When you first realized the mistake he had made, what was your first reaction?
Disbelief, humiliation, you know, that was a tough pill to swallow. And that, you know, I have a great amount of respect for, you know, Bill and Brian Daboll. Brian's a great coach. I think he's going to do a great job as head coach in this league. I was upset that I wasn't getting a true opportunity to show what I can do, to show what I can bring to a team. Which I feel is a lot. I think that's what I've shown in my time as head coach.
Yes, John. That's what this is all about as well. There's just not equal opportunity. You know, this is not a knock on Coach Daboll. This is a knock on the fact that the job was promised before Coach Flores even got an opportunity. And there's backroom dealings and information that Coach Belichick knows. Why? Why is that being discussed? Why do people have this information? Why is a decorated coach like Coach Flores, you know, humiliated into having to sit through an interview and dinner when a decision's already been made?
It's worth pointing out that the Giants said in their statement that Brian Flores was a candidate for this job up to the 11th hour. Yeah,
notice they don't say up to the time that he actually interviewed. So they don't even deny the allegation that we put forth, which is that the job had already been given to Brian Daboll.
And so, Coach, I'm sure there are many watching who will wonder, why did you go on the interview at all? If you felt it was a sham, as you as you suggested in the lawsuit, why did you go?
Because I believe that, you know, innately people are good and are going to do the right thing. And there's no way to allow them the opportunity to do the right thing or do or at least make it a fair situation unless I went there and showed them that I am qualified. I am a leader of men, that I am passionate about coaching and building relationships, and I'm gifted to coach. I mean, I know that. And I wanted to show them that. And I think they saw that in the interview.
And Mike, you know, one of the things that often happens when you're dealing with racial issues is people find a soft hiding place, a soft place to say, oh, you know what? Coach Flores didn't get the job because he did an interview. Maybe he took himself out of contention. Mm. And, you know, Brian, Coach Flores, having to put his best foot forward and go, you know, hat in hand and just, you know, interview, knowing deep down that this job was promised elsewhere, aside from being humiliated, that's something that black candidates often are forced to do so that an image isn't portrayed or a stigma that, hey, you didn't go. You didn't follow through. You didn't do your part.
Understood.
But I would say, I think those text messages confirmed a lot of what a lot of us, you know, black minority coaches already feel, that we're going into these, and they're shams. It confirmed that. A lot of there's a belief, and you know, look, that was just a mistake by Belichick. We've all sent the wrong text message to somebody. But in this instance, it came to me, and it was almost, you know, it was confirmation that those backroom dealings were happening.
Let's be very clear on why something like that might be a sham and why they would need to do it. There is the Rooney Rule in the NFL, which is something that I'm sure fans hear about quite often and may not know specifically, but I heard you describe it this morning in a previous interview as checking a box. So the existence of the Rooney Rule, mm-hmm. in which every team must interview at least two external minority candidates for an opening head coach or an open head coaching position. Doug, how does that rule impact a lawsuit like
this? Well, I think the intentions of the Rooney Rule were right. It was trying to get more of these owners to interview qualified black candidates. But when the team is interviewing a qualified black candidate and they've already made a decision, it shows prima facie evidence of intentional discrimination. It means that they've chosen a white candidate before they've even given the black candidate the opportunity. And it's not only for head coaching positions. What we really need to see are more black coaches doing offensive coordinator positions, defensive coordinator positions, special teams, quarterback. So that way it flows into the head coach positions. And we need more black owners.
And when you talk about the Rooney Rule, it's ultimately tied to an assumption that the owners and the upper management are people who are going to do the right thing and hire based on merit and not based on someone who they're comfortable with, someone who looks like them. And you know, that's what this is about. We've listed in our complaint a list of demands that we want to see, tying, you know, hiring practices to performance. You know, hire a black coach, hire black executives, give fair, open up the process and provide objective evidence of what went into your decision-making process so these decisions aren't done with the all-white owners in backroom dealings with people who make them feel comfortable because they look like themselves.
So you're saying a level of transparency that you believe does not currently
exist.
So that's one of the three specifics that you cite here of teams. That's the New York Giants. Let's go to the job that you did get in Miami. When you mm-hmm. were the head coach, you allege in the lawsuit that the owner, Stephen Ross, approached you about tanking games to get a better draft choice and said he would give you $100,000 for every game you lost. As you can imagine, that obviously has enormous repercussions. What can you tell me about the specifics of that offer? How specifically did he state that to you?
You know, that was a conversation about not doing as much as we needed to do to win football games. You know, take a flight, go on vacation. I'll give you $100,000 per loss. Like, those are just the, you know, exact words. And it's not something, look, I deal in truth. And I say that to the players as well. I'm going to give you, you know, good news, bad news, but it's going to be the truth. It's going to be honest. And in that instance, you know, look, I came from, look, this game's done a lot for me,
mm-hmm.
A lot for me personally and my family. You know, I've said this, you know, on other, you know, shows, but my parents are immigrants. I'm first generation. I grew up with, you know, in a tough neighborhood here in Brooklyn, Brownsville, where there's crime and poverty and, you know, violence. And it was hard to make it out of there. And the game of football is a reason why, or a big reason why, along with a lot of the great people that mentors I've had in my life, why I was able to have the success that I've had. So to disrespect the game that way was something that, you know, trust was lost, and there were certainly some strained relationships, and ultimately, I think that was, you know, to my demise in Miami.
And his story is not unique.
Right.
People are tweeting out, coaches, high-level coaches who have even contacted us are talking about being in a similar situation. So, you know, as part of what we're doing in creating this class action is not just Coach Flores is taking the lead and making the ultimate sacrifice, but there's going to be more.
I want to make sure I'm clear here. You're saying coaches are reaching out about having been in similar situations with regard to hiring or with regard to being incentivized
both.
To lose games?
Both.
Both.
Yeah. Both.
I want to come back to you quickly on that, though. I want to make sure I'm perfectly clear. He was suggesting, I don't want to put words in your mouth, you were working too hard, you were doing too much in the effort to win. He was trying to get you to do a little bit less and said, I'll give you $100,000 for every game
exactly
you lose?
Exactly that. That's just not in my DNA. That was never going to happen.
So what did you say to him?
That's never going to happen. I didn't come here. Look, I'm always going to try to win. That's who I am. And I owe that to the players in the locker room, but also the support staff that's in the building who work extremely hard. If you've been in an NFL building, everyone in that building's job is important. and they all, everyone works hard to try to get on the same page and move in the same direction. And I felt like we were building that type of culture. So to, I would never do that to them, you know. And if, and I, at the end of the day, I think it was the reason why I'm no longer there.
Okay, so that's the Dolphins piece of this. And then there's another piece involving the Denver Broncos, yep, in which you allege that this is back when you were still coaching in New England,
yeah,
and interviewing for a head coaching job in Denver, one you subsequently did not get, in which you state that you, in an interview that you had with them, that John Elway and another Broncos official showed up an hour late, looked disheveled. It was obvious to you they had been drinking heavily the night before the interview. You say it became clear they only were interviewing you to fulfill the provisions of the Rooney Rule. What specifically can you remember about that interview?
So I've had 9 interviews with NFL clubs. There's been one interview where anyone was late. And it wasn't me that was late. It was the interviewers who were late. That was with the Broncos. I think there was a reason why they were late. I think they were, they'd been out the night before. I think that's the reason why.
What made you believe that? I don't mean to interrupt you, but what gave you the impression, if you will, that they had been out drinking the night before?
Well, I mean, when you sit at a table with 5 people who are interviewing you, you know who's, you can tell who's asking questions, who's into the interview, and who's not necessarily in the right state, I would say, in that moment. But even then, obviously, I put my best foot forward and showed why, you know, I was a good candidate for that job. I'm always going to do that. But, you know, I certainly did not feel like I was taken seriously in that. I was just there as a Rooney Rule.
Vic Fangio ultimately was hired for that job and was subsequently fired a month ago. You are aware, of course, that the Broncos have released a statement emphatically denying the allegations, giving specifics about what time the interview began, what mm-hmm. time it ended, where it took place. They say they have notes. What is your reaction to that?
I deal in truth. That's my reaction. I deal in truth. Honesty, integrity is important to me, and hopefully there's a day where we find out the truth on that one.
Once again, to be clear, there's no question in yeah. your mind about your recollection of this, regardless yeah. of what they say.
Yeah.
Okay, and so now, as I pointed out repeatedly this morning, you are currently a candidate for 2 vacant head coaching positions mm-hmm. in the NFL, in New Orleans and in Houston.
Yep.
How have you handled those situations with regard to filing this lawsuit?
Well, before we filed the class action, I sent, you know, messages to both teams, letting them know that we would be filing, but also that I still had very interested in coaching and leading, you know, either one of those teams. Look, coaching it's what I love. It's a passion of mine. It's you know, I'm called and gifted to do it. And, you know, the reasons why is because I love helping young people reach their potential and become the best version of themselves on and off the field.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to lead an NFL team. But we need change, you know. The hiring practices in the International Football League, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, there's one black head coach. The league's filled with 70% of, you know, black players. I know there are capable coaches in this league to lead teams. I have some on my staff. I know you know the majority of them. I would say I know what kind of integrity and character and leadership that they have, and they deserve an opportunity, a real opportunity, not a Rooney Rule opportunity where a box is checked. And look, the National Football League. And I've been in this league 18 years. The National Football League is an example to the world. It really is. They have an opportunity. People follow the lead of the National Football League. They just do. That's how powerful this league is. So there's an opportunity here. There really is. I said it this morning. We're at a fork in the road here. These things are either going to stay the way they've been, or we're going to move in a direction that will not only help and affect change amongst the, you know, black minority coaches in the National Football League, but it won't just be there.
What is the opportunity? Specifically, Coach, what is the opportunity? What isn't happening that should happen in your mind? What would you like to see come as a result of this suit that you have filed?
I would like to see the hearts and minds, and I say that, I want the hearts and minds of the people making those decisions to change in a way where there's more, I don't want to say what's the word I'm looking for. They want to or have a feeling to hire someone of color, that they can relate to that person, that they can build a relationship with that person, because I think that's a little bit of the issue. The familiarity isn't there, and I think we need to open up a little bit more, and there's an opportunity for that.
That's a quick legal question, sure, if I can here, because this came up earlier this morning. Should he be hired for this job, or one of these two jobs? How does that impact a lawsuit like this?
Well, you know, our lawsuit talks about terms and conditions of employment, talks about terminations, compensation. There are other people also involved. Of course, he got turned down from one of the biggest markets in the NFL with the Giants as well. So this lawsuit's not going away. But you know what? We share, all of us share this as an opportunity. The NFL has this wonderful opportunity to actually forget about the denials, the legal denials and things like that. They have an opportunity to actually to set the record straight, to make things right, to move forward and set an example for the rest of America.
And you know what? We, as much as that's what we hope for, to help you know, create change, you know, their statement, which hopefully was just a knee-jerk reaction, you know, they came out with a denial, and it's without merit. I mean, we filed a 60-page complaint rife with details of some serious, serious allegations. I mean, they've investigated deflated footballs longer than they even took to do a response here. I mean, when you put that in perspective, that we're talking about how black candidates are and minority candidates are hired and fired and discriminated against, and they, within 30 minutes to an hour, put out a statement saying it is without merit. I mean, the fact that they were able to do that, it's a real indication and an indictment of what's been going on and what we know through the numbers and just all of our experiences.
I have 90 seconds left. Do you believe you will ever coach in the National Football League again?
I'm hopeful that I will. I'm very hopeful. But I understand the risks of filing a lawsuit like this. But I am hopeful that I will. It's something I'm passionate about. But if change comes, and if I never coach again and there's change, it'll be worth it.
You know, we were in the green room before, and I was overhearing a call, actually, with your son. And the son, who I think is 9 years old,
eight years old.
Was saying, "Daddy, are you going to get a job?" I mean, it's an eight-year-old kid.
Yep.
And, you know, hat goes off to you for standing up and believing in this.
I've literally 30 seconds left. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Look, I mean, this isn't about me. This is bigger than football. This is about equal opportunity for qualified, black candidates, not just in football, but, you know, everywhere, in all industries.
Coach, I wish you luck. I thank you very much for making the time to come down
here.
Both of you, gentlemen,
thank you very much for coming here.
We appreciate your willingness to share these thoughts. Again, the conversation will continue. First Take will start in just a moment here on ESPN. I'll be coast to coast on ESPN Radio with lots of reaction. Thank you so much for watching. It's Get Up. First Take starts now.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.